Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
Talking socks.
Talk to Chuck.
With White Sox pre- and post-game host Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
White Sox talk.
Talk to Chuck.
With Chuck.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine joins Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
To break down the Southsiders.
Talk to Chuck.
Every Wednesday.
Talk to Chuck.
On ESPN Chicago.
Talk to Chuck.
That's right. We'll get back to the Bears, play some Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy, who spoke today as the Bears get set for Sunday against the Lions. But we are talking about the first place White Sox tied with Cleveland. And Chuck Garfine, every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, is brought to you by our great friends at Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Text Tito to 31996 now to win a Tito's prize pack, which include a Tito's golf bag, a Tito's cooler, and much more. That's Tito to 31996. Hello, Chuck.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. You could use a Tito's now after the big stinkies from last night, couldn't you?
Maybe I already had a few. I might have had a bottle.
I'm kidding. You know, I was saying, Chuck, when I was watching that game last night, that, you know, there's this big debate about, hey, do you win the big games when you face the Twins, or is it more impressive to beat the teams that you're supposed to play? That was one of those games that we just haven't seen much from the White Sox this year, right? When they play a team that's
bad. That was a rarity.
Right,
I mean, they've been beating the snot out of all the last-place teams and the inferior teams. And when they took the 4-2 lead in the eighth, you're thinking, here we go, they're going to win. And even when the Pirates tied it up, I'm like, they're still going to win this game. That's what was so surprising, just how everything collapsed down the stretch. Evan Marshall has been rock solid in the bullpen. He gives up a couple of runs, and then just everything fell apart. In the ninth, Nick Madrigal made two base running errors that led or prevented them from scoring two runs. It was just not indicative of how they've been playing. And for White Sox fans who have been experiencing so much joy and excitement and wins, when that happened and they lose to a team like the Pirates that they should have won, it felt like the sky was falling for the night. But, you know, win today, if it's a split, you know, they should win both of these games. But it is a baseball team you're facing. And the Pirates, even though they are in last place, there are, you know, they are major leaguers, and you're not going to exactly expect to win every single game, even though we've gotten used to it. But, yeah, that was the toughest loss, I would say, in terms of a game that the Sox had in their hands in the late innings, and they gave away.
Chuck, it's a conversation that people have about, you know, Sylvie mentioned beating the good teams and not doing so well against the better teams. When you look at this Sox squad that's 7-11, I believe, against teams with a winning record, and people are critical of them for that, what do you say?
What I say is that they need to prove that they can beat those teams. And their whole season will ride, in my opinion, on how they do against the Twins for four games next week and the Indians for four games the following week. Their last 2 weeks are a bear in terms of who they're facing. And then they close the whole regular season against the Cubs. But head-to-head, how they do against the Indians and the Twins, that's the season in my view, because, you know, if they split, that's okay. That's okay, although the Indians have a really easy schedule going forward where they play a lot of these last-place teams, like the Royals, like the Pirates. They get the Tigers for three or four more. But, yeah, they have yet to prove, other than beating the Cubs in that three-game series at Wrigley, that they can beat those teams. But there's nothing wrong with beating all the other teams, too. But when you get to the playoffs, and this team will make the playoffs, they're going to be facing stiffer competition like the Indians, like the Twins. And they're going to have to prove to themselves and to everybody that they can stay with these teams and they're better than them and that they are the real thing. So it's, you know, for fans who say they haven't beaten anyone yet, okay, that's true. That's true. That doesn't say this team is not good, but that's the next step they need to take, beat the good teams.
And Chuck, the sky's still the limit, though. I mean, Cleveland gets rid of Clevinger. They're still tied with the White Sox. Toronto's better than the Yankees right now, and they're not even playing in Toronto. This is just a crazy year, and I still think the sky's the limit for the White Sox this year. Who the heck knows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many good things happening with this team, but we are now, because of the season that it is, with only 60 games, like, basically the pennant race is underway right now, and this is who this team's going to be. They're not adding any more players, and the expectations are that they can make some noise in the playoffs, and they could potentially win the division. I didn't think this was going to be possible this year, even in a 60-game season. I thought the Twins were going to win the division, the Sox were going to be second, and the Indians would be third. That's turned out. I mean, there's only a half game that separates these three teams. And the Indians pitching staff is, I knew, was good. I had no idea they'd be this good and deep, even though their offense isn't very good. And the Twins offense hasn't done much. But this is, White Sox fans, get used to it. This is going to be an exciting team. They're going to be better and better as the years go on. They don't have all the answers everywhere. They could use some more starting pitching and a little more bullpen help, if you ask me. But then again, I think that's going to be coming next year. This is who they are for this year. Is it a perfect team? No. But can they beat the crap out of teams with this offense? Oh, yeah. And they do have some real good starting pitching in Giolito and Keiko, who looks to be – he's going to be fine. He had that he had some back stiffness, but it seems like that's pointing the right direction. And I liked what I saw from Cease yesterday, even though he only went five innings.
I was going to ask you the next direction I was going with Cease. Nine starts into the 2020 season. What is your overall kind of interpretation of who he's been?
Yeah, so that's been a little bit of a puzzle for me. I haven't spoken to Cease about it. He's had some media availability on Zooms with, you know, media, but I have not been a part of those because I've been doing the post-game shows. So with him, I mean, the stuff's great, and I thought his start yesterday was one of his best starts. He was pulled, though, in the sixth inning at 79 pitches. And he's had a really high pitch count on a lot of these starts, but this was finally a game where it was lower. It was at 79 pitches. And I understand Renteria's method was, let's have him start the sixth, see how it goes, and if it's not going in the right direction, we're going to pull him. Well, it started going down the wrong slope. But I was also, this is me, Chuck Sportscaster, and not Chuck Manager, thinking about, I mean, the toughest thing to do is to manage a bullpen, and that's what Renteria and every manager is doing. But to put together a bridge from the start of the sixth inning to the ninth inning, time and time and time and time again, because the starters have not been going deep, it's eventually going to get you in the butt, and you are going to look bad. And I felt like they've been going to that well so many times, and all it takes is, you know, every time you bring out an arm, you're, you know, playing with the baseball gods to a certain degree, hoping and praying that that guy's got his stuff. And they've been doing it so often. And the bullpen has been really, really good. But I was like, can you give Cease one more inning or maybe two, just see if he can get through it? But Renteria decided that was not the case he wanted to, that's not the road he wanted to take. He pulled him, and it started to look okay. But then, you know, obviously things fell apart in the end. So Cease's numbers are good. He's only going to get better. But last night, I would have liked to have seen him go a little deeper.
Chuck Garfine joining us on the Corona Hotline. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You mentioned Keuchel and that he's going to be okay. But would you say that Keuchel is probably one of the most important pitchers or players on this team, I should say, because of what you just mentioned, bullpen? Who follows him in the rotation, that he needs to give you innings and they need to be great if this team's going to go far?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a great signing. I would say this is by far the best signing that they've made. This is maybe, I haven't really looked into it, but if this is who he's going to be for the length of his contract, it'll turn out to be one of the best free agent signings, certainly of the Rick Hahn era. And going, I go back, you know, 20 years, if this is who he is. And so far, it's off to a great start for what he brings to the team on the field, what he does off the field. He's got a really low ERA. He's given up, I think, like two home runs all season. And it's just unfortunate that he's had to leave starts early because of a back issue this time. And then his previous start, he had like stomach issues. Like, you don't expect that to happen. And he had to leave that start. But he has been everything that they had asked for and more. And if, you know, I can't think of a better person to have in the clubhouse for the playoffs than Dallas Keuchel, who has been a part of a team with the Houston Astros that rebuild, that had to rebuild, and they went all the way to the World Series. I mean, the wisdom that he can share with these guys, these young guys who have so much talent but have never been to the postseason, and you can lean on Dallas Keuchel, that's invaluable for this team.
Well, let's stick with the pitching theme here. Dunning gets the ball tonight, last time out Friday against the Royals, not as good as he was the time before. What do you see from him, Chuck?
What do I see from Dunning? A five-inning no-hitter was really good. You know, I want to see more from him, but at the same time, like, this is a guy who had not pitched above double-A, gets Tommy John surgery. He comes in, and he looks like a pitcher. He looks like he belongs, like he's been in the game for a couple of years. And, you know, the Sox went into this season with all this starting pitching depth that disintegrated very quickly with Kopech, with Lopez, with Rodon, Jimmy Lambert. And now they're, you know, leaning on a rookie who seems to be pretty dependable. Now he's facing a Pittsburgh Pirates offense that isn't that great, but, you know, I think I'm expecting big things from him. I mean, this is one of the top prospects, pitching prospects in the organization, and he doesn't throw 98, but he knows how to get guys out. He's showing the ability to be very effective at this level. It's very promising. He's kind of slid onto the radar. He was off the radar because he was coming off Tommy John. Everyone was focused on Kopech coming back. Kopech's not here, but here's Dunning. And so he's someone who I feel comfortable when he's on the mound. So I think that's a good start for his major league career.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, Chuck.
Okay.
Going forward, and you sit there with Ozzy, so I'm sure you hear a lot of stuff. What is your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10 in Ricky Renteria?
You talking about, like, is him as a manager?
Yes. Well, not him as a cleanup hitter.
1 to 10?
Yes, because I think this is where the point of the question is, this is where I think the biggest concern among Sox fans happens and the most debate occurs, is whether or not they've got the right guy sitting in the chair.
And I can't give you a full answer right now. I don't want to give you that number necessarily because it's still incomplete. Let's see how this whole thing transpires. Because I could say, if you would have asked me yesterday, and the way that he's managed the team, is it perfect? No, but I mean, was Joe Maddon perfect when he was with the Cubs?
No, and he got two cute times. And look, the White Sox are 10 over in a year that they, you know, during a pandemic when they weren't expected to arrive.
Well, it's something I always have this conversation about going back to Joe and comparing it to Joe. While Joe may have made some tactical decisions later in his tenure on the North side, he created a culture there that was invaluable. What do you get the sense that Ricky, to build on Sylvie's question, do you get the sense that Ricky has created an atmosphere there that has been one that is like really nurturing and growing in a really positive one?
I mean, these young players that have come up with him love him and they play hard for him. I mean, the one thing is, when this team was had lacked a lot of talent, they always played hard, and opposing teams would see that and they'd know that going in, like, listen, we have a better team than them, but they're going to play hard against us. That's all on Renteria. I mean, that's what Renteria brought to the White Sox, that mentality. Now, this is the first year he's had a team, he's been given a team that has a chance to win. And, okay, they're in first place. You know, so you can go ahead and criticize Renteria for some of his managing moves, and I've been critical of some of them, so I'm not, like, saying he's perfect. But White Sox are in first place. So, you know, you want to fire him now? Is he the right guy for a team? Like, is someone going to do better? Like, I don't have all the answers to that because I can't see into the future, but this is really the first year where I feel like Rick Renteria should be, in essence, be judged by the win-loss record because he has a team that is good enough to win, and they are winning. So I think, you know, any manager on any team is open to criticism, and they make mistakes because it's all on them. And the way someone structures their lineup and the way that someone does a bullpen, you know, there is a method to what they're doing. And we don't always know all the answers. And it's what's unfortunate is that in a normal world, I can then go to the clubhouse before a game and just have a quick chat with Rick just to kind of get some context of some of his decision-making. I don't have that ability now. So I'm just left to like, well, this is what he did. This is what he said in a Zoom on the record. And we have to make assumptions as to, okay, well, this is why he made this decision and that decision. So we're in a little bit of a gray area in that. But I think that he's – I mean, I don't want to give him a number, but I think he's done a good job this year for sure. And this is a chance – I mean, I didn't think this team was going to win a division in 2020, and here they are. So he has performed better than – I should say he and the team has performed better than I expected in 2020 so far. So I think that's – something to be said about what they've done so far.
It's a debate that's not going away. Chuck, great stuff.
No,
we'll
not.
Be watching tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, see you guys.
There you go. And, like, again, he is
great
winning.
Great question, Sylvie.
Yeah, because,
really
because now that he's winning, now every bullpen move and every lineup he makes will draw more criticism or more compliments.
See the
it's
old,
just under the microscope.
It's the old A to B, you know, can he go B
sure.
to C? That's, you know.
And let's weave it all together, because it's one thing Jerry Reinsdorf has never done with his franchises. He usually likes that new manager, the Ricky Renterias of the world, the Fred Hoiberg, the Tom Thibodeau. Could he, for his basketball team, hire a high-priced basketball coach? That, all of a sudden, is a question mark. We'll get into that coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So much to discuss today. We're all over the Bears as they open the season. We were just talking Sox. I know people want to talk 332-3776. We're having the discussion about Ricky Renteria, and then it brought us into the other team that Jerry Reinsdorf owns in this market, and that's the Chicago Bulls. And Waddle, very rarely do the Bulls hire a head coach who has been a head coach in the NBA previously. I was going back on this just by using my memory, and I believe Scott Skiles is probably the last guy and maybe the only guy this franchise really has ever hired who had previous head coaching experience. He was the head coach of Phoenix before he got a second turn with the Bulls.
Doug Collins was never a head coach before he got there.
No, he was very inexperienced. He was fresh off his playing career. And
right.
Phil Jackson was a coach in the CBA and an assistant coach on the Bulls. And then he was hired. And Tim Floyd was the head coach at Iowa State. And Bill Cartwright had no head coaching experience. You know, Vinny Del Negro, no head coaching experience on the NBA level.
Some would argue Thibodeau, he still doesn't have any coaching experience.
Right. Tom Thibodeau had no head coaching experience. Longtime assistant. They pride themselves in hiring guys like Ricky Renteria and Tom Thibodeau. You know, now Ricky is experienced because he managed the Cubs. But guys like that, the lower paid guys who you can groom. And now all of a sudden, Billy Donovan, a guy with a little more flash, a little more panache, he's going to cost you, is available. And to my surprise, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Bulls are going to have at least an interest in discussing him for their head coaching vacancy.
And I think when we had this conversation earlier today, I think Abdallah had a really good point. And he said, I mean, is he the right guy for the job? They may end up going for somebody with that gives their first opportunity to coach. But as Adam said, you know, when was the last time, as you were describing, they even let you down that path? So maybe this is, you know, it's a new era. I mean, I feel encouraged that there is a new day for the Bulls.
3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, Casey Johnson just wrote an article saying that the Bulls are counting every penny, that they don't know when crowds are going to be back. They don't know if they can even buy out Jim Boylan's salary. They have done it. And now they're going to replace him with a guy who's going to make $5 or $6 million a year.
The fact that they even talk to him, I think, is encouraging, isn't it? The fact that they're even going to spend the time discussing him and interviewing him, knowing that it would cost a significant amount, I would think that that's an encouraging sign. I don't know if ultimately they'll be given the, you know, the go-ahead to spend that kind of money on him. But don't you think there have been times gone by where that interview would have never even taken place because
well,
of the
they've talked to guys before. What's his name in Houston? They've talked to
D'Antoni.
D'Antoni. Remember when Reinsdorf was about to hire him, and then remember he turned off D'Antoni and said, "Do you have a plan for defense?" At the end of the meeting,
right?
And I think he elected to go to New York then.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan, there are some people are saying, Sylvie, what has Billy Donovan done truly in the playoffs? He was up 3-1 with KD and Russ. And
I think he's only won one playoff series in his 5 years at OKC, right?
Now, he is the reigning coach of the year this year, and he had a really good year. And the other thing that I did bring to the table is that you walk into a room with a free agent pitch, and instead of walking in with Jim Boylan and Garin Pax, you're now walking in with Billy Donovan and Karnishevis, and you're looking better. And if someone does know Billy Donovan, it is Karnishevis, who has spent the last several years in Denver, and those teams are rivals playing in the same division in basketball.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. You know, you never want to make too much of a tweet, but Bradley Beal, I think, actually tweeted something about, hey, they should. When he found out that the Bulls were going to talk to him, I think, didn't Bradley Beal tweet out something, and they should, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, as they should, yes.
As they should?
No, he played for him, right?
Right. Can you connect dots? I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of recruiting, I think it gives you a little bit extra juice, doesn't it?
And it gives you a presence with that locker room. The last guy was a boob. The last guy was calling timeouts down 20. The last guy got no respect from Zach LaVine. Billy Donovan, with his championship rings from Florida and his coach of the year with what he did this year with OKC when no one thought they'd compete, he would provide you instant credibility inside the locker room.
So I don't dispute that at all, and it would help your recruiting cause. I mean, do you think that, I don't know, I mean, does someone like Giannis or someone like Bradley Beal, whether you want him or not, where if you have guys that are looking to move on, are those guys that would come to Chicago because of someone like Billy Donovan?
Well, okay, so this is a way to kind of view all of this, right? They would now have a professional operation going.
Right.
Where like, okay, if we...
Imagine that, right, Chris?
Well, but let's take a step back to, like, All-Star Weekend. If you would have told me that the Bulls would be in position, if they wanted to hire someone of the caliber of Billy Donovan, I'm not sure many people would be like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure the Bulls will be able to hire him as their next coach.
Right. Think about that, Chris, that we're at First Take, and they're chanting, fire
yeah.
Gar Pax.
Right.
And then 6 months later, even during a pandemic... The Bulls have a new front office with Karnishevis and Eversley and could be equipped with Billy Donovan as their front man.
And I think that right there, Sylvie, that I think you become a power player. Now, will you, and Waddle, to answer your question, do you get the very best free agent to sign here because Billy Donovan is your head coach? I don't know. I don't think any of us can answer that. But I would feel in the Eastern Conference, the way the front office is structured with that coach, you immediately rise to the handful of teams, four or five, who are the best franchises in the Eastern Conference.
Your phone calls are received.
Absolutely. And he's a professional coach who does a good job. And I think the thing to point out with that is he has handled different high-level stars in this league without having conflict. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and now this year with Chris Paul. Paul has a lot of pull within the league, and especially the way they play under Donovan. For the years that he had KD and Russ, they were a top 10 pace team, and they were a team that were top 10 in offensive efficiency each and every year.
That's what players want.
Then he loses Russ, he loses KD. This year with Chris Paul, Oppo, they turn into like the 21st team in pace. They're playing slower because of Chris Paul. and they were top 10 in defensive efficiency. So he has shown the ability to do both and to mold the talent that he has. And think about it. This season for the Thunder was a no-win situation. They traded away the best player. They are moving all the, they're collecting all these assets. They're moving away from Paul George, and they get Chris Paul with his fat contract, the $41 million a year. And it's like, what are we going to do here? And he's developing the young talent to have assets on the roster. I think this would, like, if you told me back in May that by the time we get to the fall, the Bulls could have Billy Donovan as their head coach, I'd take it in a second.
Right, right. It's a good point, Chris. 312-332-3776. You wonder if Jerry's going to do that. Or is Philly the destination for Donovan, and then they end up getting a guy like Udoka, who a lot of people thought they would get, an assistant coach that they can mold. But they are in position, and it surprised me pleasantly that they want to talk to him and that they have some interest here. So we'll take your phone calls. We've got Waddle's World coming up. Caller 9 right now also. You'll get a week. We have a contest on which week Nick Foles makes his first start. You'll have a chance to win prizes. Caller 9 gets to play next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah. You know what's weird is the sound coming from this back massaging chair that I'm sitting in right now.
Oh, you're in a massager?
Hold on. Well, it's one of these massaging machines that you put on the chair. You strap it to the chair. Strap it down to the chair. And then it's got this, like, this rolling massage. Listen, I want you to listen to it. Do you hear that?
It sounds like a really very weird, basic massager, though.
Oh,
is it like a blanket that you just drape over the back of the chair?
No,
it's one of those, you strap it on,
strap it down.
Oh,
no. It's not a blanket. It's kind of like a chair insert. So it almost sits like you could sit on it, and then you plug it in, and then you go for a wild ride. It's awesome.
Are you sitting?
You can do what?
Are you facing forward or back? Which way are you sitting?
I'm sitting in the chair like I would normally sit
in
a chair.
With your backside? Just... Yeah.
What?
Huh?
There was one? Waddle's World is brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Bank. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest member FDIC.
Can we take caller 9 first here? And then we'll go on to the weirdness.
Of course.
Well, Alex in Plano, maybe he's weird. I don't know. He could add to the weirdness if he wants. Alex, do you want to add to the weirdness?
Get weird, Alex.
No, you guys have got it pretty well covered.
Well said.
That's true, yeah. But we're going to give you a week that you're going to have, and if Nick Foles starts that week for the first time, then you're going to win a couple of gift cards, okay?
All right.
All right, Alex, so I've got the cup. I'm reaching in the cup. Pulling the thing out. Woo! Okay. Let me paint you a scenario. Let me paint you a scenario. Mitch is lighting it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this quarterback guru really unlocked something. He fixed his feet. Untapped potential. The footwork's there. He's learned how to read a defense finally in year four. He's not overthrowing receivers.
This division
is wrapped up. So they say, you know what? Normally we would rest our starters for the last week of the season, but I think that Nick Foles needs a win. So let's have him start against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 16.
Wow. So you get the last game of the year. How do you feel about that?
Second to last game.
I don't feel very confident about that.
I don't either. I think that's a bad week.
I tried to help you, Alex. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
Alex, thank you.
He put a bow tie on a cow pie for you there.
If he wins, he gets a $100 gift card to Jersey Mike's and $50 to Bub City.
And I'll let him borrow my back rub machine, too, if he wants.
You want to give away your back rub machine?
No, I want everyone else to enjoy it.
We'll ask for another caller next hour for that, too. And a lot of people wanted to talk, whether it be about Donovan or whether it be about the Sox lineup and the Bears, and we'll take more of your calls coming up.
Tell them
up.
To hold themselves.
Yes.
I got some nonsense to get to. First, some sports.
Yes.
A lot of NBA news and noise for you. Steve Nash says his playing career is why he got to skip the line to become the Nets coach. Were you guys surprised at all when that was announced?
Yes, I was. He was not on my radar. It makes sense because of what he's done with the Warriors and the respect people have for him, but it was not on my radar that he would get hired.
And Waddle, he was asked the question about skipping the line.
Right.
So it's like he didn't come out and be like, well,
right.
Well, look at me. I got to skip the line and get a job. He was asked because people have been talking, and Stephen A. Smith and other people have been critical. And he said with a long response that his Hall of Fame playing career as a point guard and being the leader of multiple teams and working hand in hand with head coaches throughout his time in the NBA has allowed him to skip the line, and he has a lot to learn, but he knows that he brings something to the table.
Yeah, his quote was, I think leading an NBA team for almost two decades is pretty unique, he said during his virtual introductory news conference. So while I haven't necessarily learned some of the skills that I'll definitely seek to understand and learn as far as the technical aspects of coaching, I was never far from that. So I'm assuming, too, they don't hire Steve Nash if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant aren't on board with it.
Right, yes. It's all about them.
Yeah. NBA are telling teams that the draft could be pushed back to November 18th.
They want more room to do the the combines and everything like that.
Right.
That's fine. I'm good with all of
Who
that.
Who are we getting at number four?
Don't know yet.
Okay. Well, when we come back from the next break, can you have that figured out for us?
Obi Toppin?
Ooh, that's right. That's who Chris said when we had this conversation last time. He's the big power forward scoring machine from Dayton.
Athletic as all hell.
Yeah. Maybe Mark Giangreco can give us a breakdown of his game when he joins us at 5:30 today. Probably not. Robert Covington is expected to be available for game four against the Lakers. Did you see that collision last night? That was nasty.
He got in the face,
His face exploded.
Yeah. He does not have a broken nose, but he did have a facial
I don't know how
injury.
He does not have a broken nose.
I know.
What do they call that in wrestling? A crimson mask?
Yeah.
He was wearing a crimson mask.
Crimson mask.
The secret to that is you put a razor blade in your little thing, in your little wristband, and then you cut
then
right
you
above
cut, yeah.
Right. Right above the
you know
the
why?
Eyebrow.
Right, because your forehead is a place that really tends to bleed quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
We could try that on Friday when it's just the three of us. When
Crimson
I'm in
mask.
The
studio.
Hit me, Waddle was a bleeder. Hit me in the face of the chair.
Oh. Waddle was a bleeder on
I
the field.
I wasn't really a bleeder.
He would bleed on the field.
Wait a second. When Thomas Everett takes the crown of his helmet and drives it through your chin and opens up your chin to the tune of 25 stitches, and you can see the bone of my chin, that doesn't make me a bleeder.
I wasn't blaming you. I just said that you bled on the field.
Okay, I thought you were calling me a wuss.
No.
LeBron James.
I don't think that's something you can control.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I there's no doubt. I mean, there's a picture of them trying to hold my face together, and I was bleeding all over
people. You were a bleeder.
That was back before the days where the trainer would run out with a mask and gloves on. He was taking, I remember Tim Brame took a handful of dirt and just stuck it. No, he didn't do that, but that's kind of what it looked like, just to keep my face together. LeBron becomes the all-time leader in playoff wins with 162. He is now officially the GOAT.
No, that's not true. Do you know who
that's
even
the headline.
Passed?
That's the headline.
That's what
it
says.
How it's in the hot list.
Most wins. He's also played all those games
I'm
way more.
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to see if
do
I
you even know who he
to...
passed? Do you know who was number one before?
Yes,
Derek
I
Fisher.
Do.
Yes. It's
yeah, I knew that.
Are you guys?
Are
you guys surprised? Now I know the NBA expanded the playoff rounds at a certain point, but aren't you surprised that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wasn't number one?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or Karl Malone,
because he played for so long and they were always in it.
Yeah. Or Karl Malone too, right? Like the Jazz were in the playoffs every
but
single
you're
year.
Right,
like
Chris,
you said about the best of three and added rounds, and now they're all seven.
Right. It's been diluted on that front. Jimmy Butler's warning other teams, you don't want this. That's not what he said. He says, no, I don't. Butler, when asked whether the Heat have played their best basketball yet after eliminating the Bucks in game five, said, no, I don't think so. I don't think we've played a full 48-minute game yet, and that's what's promising. when we do lock in and decide to play from start to finish, I think the game would be a lot easier. I don't think it's happened yet, but we have to next round. Don't you want to see? I want to see a Miami Heat Los Angeles Lakers final.
Yeah, you know me. I like Jimmy. I'd be rooting for the Heat. It's amazing that I'm rooting for the Heat.
I know.
It's amazing.
That's
but you know how I feel about Jimmy. And that's a likable team. They try hard. They play as a team. They're well coached. They're young.
They want us money.
They want us money, most importantly. LSU is going to allow nearly 26,000 fans for home football games. Boom. They banned tailgating, but fans will be required to wear face coverings, observe social distancing guidelines because of the pandemic, the school said in a statement Wednesday. Although no tailgating is allowed, fans will be able to gather near their vehicles with those in their traveling parties. Come on. Like, that kind of sounds like there will be no tailgating, except there will be some tailgating.
Yes, right. It's amazing just like city to city how different everything is.
All right, the capacity of the stadium is 102,321, so the reduction would actually allow 25,580 fans to attend.
Wow. Waddle, did you see also for the Chiefs game tomorrow night how there are going to be fans at Arrowhead?
Aren't there going to be 10,000?
Yeah, and did you see the latest story that tickets are available? Like, they are having a very hard time getting people to...
Really? So it's not like this big ticket that people want because there's less of them.
Wow.
Same with the game
surprised.
Same with the game in Jacksonville because they're going to have fans this weekend and they can't move tickets either.
Well, you wouldn't
pay for
a
Jacksonville in a non-pandemic environment. You wouldn't
pay
for
me.
Jags tickets.
Jokes.
Yahoo has a story, though, that the Chiefs are sending season ticket holders who have committed to going to the game tomorrow, they've sent them the saliva test for COVID-19, and you have to administer it at home and send it in before you go to the stadium.
That's pretty crazy.
Or I thought we were on an honor system here.
Well, I mean,
I got my third.
So what is
Are
this?
Are they going to send me a drug test, too, so I can take it at home?
But let me ask you this. Does this make you more willing to go to a game if you know that people who have the tickets are getting tested over random?
What if I get my kid to take the test for me? And like, I mean, unless you're...
Oh, really? Wow.
I thought this was a great thing. I didn't think it would be a deterrent. I thought that, like... Because I think the way the Chiefs are using this is the reason they're making this available is because they think people are afraid to go. So now they're saying, well, the people who want to go, we will give you the test, take the test, and then show up.
Perfect. I think that's great. I'm just telling you, I'd wear a mask knowing that there's only going to be like 10,000 people in there. If I was a Chiefs fan and I wanted to go see Patrick Mahomes square off with Deshaun Watson, I'd put my mask on, I'd be socially distant, and I would probably go.
See, That's not fun for me sitting at a game where I can't really eat and I've got to wear a mask. I'd rather sit on my couch and enjoy the experience on my glorious TV.
Well, I said
surprising that Sylvie has the issue with I can't really eat.
Right.
Right. I mean, you're eating. Like, I don't want to be uncomfortable at a game.
I'm just saying from the perspective of somebody who loves to go to games, if you love to go to games... To me, and I'm not, I like to sit on my couch. But if I love to go to games, I would probably take the risk and wear the mask and go. By the way, Jalen Ramsey has agreed to a $105 million extension, the richest deal for a defensive back in the history of the game, which leads us to a conversation for later. Why in the hell, with all of these different signings, I just give you a few names, okay? Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Buda Baker. Like, everyone's signing their guys, and we can't get Allen Robinson a contract extension?
Remember when Weeders thought I was whining when I brought that up? Now you're joining my whining club.
Well, hopefully I presented it in a non-whining manner, but I think it is a question
that needs to be
asked.
Yeah,
hey, by the way, when we come back, I got a really nutty story for you, okay? All right?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by White Claw Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors, it's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Something bit me in the arm at the break.
Maybe there was a massage chair.
No, something bit me. Damn, that hurt. By the way,
a bite?
I think so. I mean,
was it your dog?
No, my dog's upstairs. Dog's upstairs.
A rat?
I don't.
Spider?
Don't have rats. I don't know what it was.
Remember when you thought you got bit by a brown recluse spider?
I always think that I got bit by a brown. I think I probably right now I feel like I got bit by a brown recluse spider. But my arm will turn black, and you know what? Like the area where it bites, it kills it, so your flesh dies, and it just flakes away. Ooh. Yeah, it's something it's to look gross. Forward to. Hey, the nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by our friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say? A night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Hey, thanks. Teen hospitalized after receiving... What? What?
The way you said that, you sound like you're high.
Go ahead. I don't get high. I get drunk. I don't get high. I'm not a high guy. Teen hospitalized after receiving snake bite to penis while on a toilet.
When I used to go visit my grandparents in Florida, it was one of my biggest fears. Because they'd be like, you got to check the toilet for snakes. And I go, what do you mean? And I was younger, and they're like, well, snakes can get into the plumbing, and they'll, you know, if you don't look down before you sit, they'll bite you.
It tried to hismember him. A Thai teen lived out every man's worst nightmare after a snake sunk its fangs into his penis while he was on the toilet.
I don't believe this.
I looked down and saw there was a snake hanging in the toilet, the young man told the local press.
It's from the New York Post.
The man recalls watching smartphone videos on the toilet when all of a sudden, is this Sylvie sitting on the toilet watching things on his smartphone?
That's
all
what
of
I
a
do.
Sudden, bam.
The man was sitting on the toilet texting get up videos.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys see this from Greeny?
That's when I do my best work. Exactly.
Hey, did you guys see this from Greeny? Greeny had a great line on this. Whoa!
It was right after he texted Mark Potash's article when he felt a sudden pinch.
You totally knew that. You were so right. I texted you Mark Potash's article today from the can. I did not get bit by a snake.
My favorite sport. Pardon me, growing up.
I think I got bit by a snake.
Excuse me. This is my favorite sport. Pardon me, growing up.
Oh, we got to do a segment called Don't Choke. It's been done before where we take calls and we just say, don't choke. And you got to bring it. And if you choke, we play the greeny sound.
Before we go to Florida or Ohio, because I need more, the young man recalls watching smartphone videos on the toilet when all of a sudden he felt a searing pain in his nether region. The university student looked down to discover a nightmarish sight. A 4-foot python with its jaws clamped around his thing.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's more.
Hey, do you guys want to play a game?
Play a game.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
By the way, I love drunkenness. Screwball peanut butter.
Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery.
Excuse me.
Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio.
How you doing?
And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Drunken man jumps into ditch. I said ditch. To hide from police.
I've done that. I've definitely
done
that.
Yeah, this is Cincinnati.
Police responded to a call of a suspicious man stumbling and hiding in ditches at 1:34 in the morning.
Oh, definitely.
They stopped when they saw him dive into a ditch. The man admitted to drinking, quote, a large amount of beer. He was cited for disorderly conduct and taken home by police and said, boys will be boys.
Youngstown, Ohio.
Chris?
I'm going to flip it on you. I'm going Florida.
Tom Waddle jumped into a ditch and hid from police after drinking a large amount of beer in Brunswick, Ohio.
There you go. Nice.
So we right. did.
I'm officially concerned now, Waddle, on a serious note.
The Bears about Greeny?
No, the Bears injury report is out, and there's a player on it who they continue to tell us, don't worry about him, but yet he keeps reappearing. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes.